Anybody have a testimony you want to share tonight? Appreciate you minding the Lord this morning. Several of you came with burdens, and I really felt the Lord's presence in the service today. This morning was wonderful. Yes. In front of me, but a couple of things. Wednesday, we're lifting service. We'll let you do your 4th of July celebrations with your family. And then we'll be back in the throes of things next Sunday, getting ready for the youth camp the next week. This coming Saturday, 9 o'clock, is a work day again for the youth camp. There are several things that need to be done. If you'd like to help anytime through the week, see Pastor Jeff or Angie Crook, and they can give you some jobs to do. If you're not able to be here Saturday, that's okay. Let us know ahead of time, and maybe you have an hour or two here or there. They can put you to work for that. We have mentioned some picnic tables that we're buying to help over at on the campus there, especially accommodate the crowd, but also replacing some picnic tables that need to be replaced. Several of you have already volunteered to purchase some of those. Help me out, Brother Ron. How many do we have? We have five purchased, paid for, and I think we ordered eight, so we have three more to go if you'd like to. Also, we are in need of mattresses, twin mattresses. And so if any of you have a relative that works in a mattress factory, that would be a wonderful time to give them a call and say, hey, we need some mattresses. So we need to pray about that. We have a lot of bunk beds that have been built. Thank the Lord for that. And we need mattresses for those beds. Let's see, am I forgetting anything? As far as announcements goes, anybody? Quiet audience tonight. All right. I want to share with you something that I think will be helpful. It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And I'm looking on my PowerPoint here, and I think I made a typo, Brother Johnny. It's supposed to be Ephesians 4:29. Does it say Ephesians 4:2? Yeah, well, we'll get to that in just a moment. You can leave the PowerPoint off because you're going to, maybe it's cut off on the side. I don't know. Does the picture show up? Okay. I got a picture I want to show you in a little bit, but I'm just going to keep you waiting for just a while longer. I want to talk to you about the power of words for just a few moments. And to do that, let's take a trip down memory lane, your memory, and my memory too. Let's all go down in our own memories. And I want you to think about the most happy memory of your life that involves other people. Think for just a moment. The most happy memory in your life. You should be smiling now, thinking about different things. Maybe it's your wedding day maybe a gift you got. Think about that. All right? You don't have to share it. Just put it in your mind for a moment. Now, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum, and on our trip down memory lane, think about the most painful memory that you may have that involves other people in your life. Maybe you don't want to think about that. But whether it's a happy memory or a painful memory, many times those memories, especially when it involves other people in our lives, those memories have an element to them that reinforces the emotions of the moment, and that element is words. Probably, whether it's positive or negative, you can probably remember some of the things that your parents said to you when you were growing up. You probably remember some of the things they said that were corrections to you. Maybe you remember some encouragement. Maybe you received a note of encouragement, or you received a letter of criticism. Boy, you never forget those things. The power of words. I found a story. It's kind of a dumb story, to be honest with you. And I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's not true, because it involves talking amphibians, And so amphibians don't talk. But anyway, just for the sake of this illustration, there were a group of frogs, that's the amphibians in the story, who were hopping along contentedly through the woods, doing whatever it is that frogs do. And two of them fell into a pit. It was kind of hidden in the woods, and all of a sudden two of them fell into the pit. And it was a deep pit where they couldn't jump out. And all the other frogs hopped to the edge of the pit and just kind of stood there looking at them. And they watched as these two frogs jumped as high as they could to get out of that pit. They kept jumping and jumping, jumping on the sides, and then they'd fall back. And then they'd jump on another side and fall back. They just kept on going until finally the frogs that were on the edge there began to tell them, "Hey, guys, it's no use. We have looked all around this pit, and there's no way out, and it's too high, and you can't jump that high. None of us can jump that high. And you might as well just save your strength, because you're never going to get out of this pit." Well, those two frogs kept on jumping, even in spite of all the negativity going on around the rim of that big, deep pit. They kept jumping for a while until finally the frogs that are on the edge of the pit, they kept talking and saying, "Hey, it's no use, it's no use, it's no use." Finally, one of the frogs in the pit just stopped. He kind of hopped over to the side, the corner there, and he just waited to die. The other frog kept on hopping, jumping as high as he could, as high as he could. The frogs around the edge of the pit, they were really becoming disheartened by watching the struggle, and they kind of all stepped back for a moment. And wouldn't you know it, on one of those tries, he got clear up to the edge of that pit. He got a toehold on the edge of that pit, and he vaulted over the edge, and he landed in front of all of his froggy friends. They couldn't believe it. And they asked him, why did you keep on going? How did you do this? I mean, it was too tall. It was too high. The pit was too deep. How did all this happen? And the frog looked at them kind of funny, and he asked for a piece of paper. And again, this is not a true story, so just listen. And he wrote on the paper, he wrote this. He said, "I am a deaf frog. I can't hear. But I am very grateful for all of the words of encouragement that you had been giving me for the last half hour." And so one frog was celebrating his miraculous freedom because he thought he was receiving words of encouragement, and the other frog is left to die because he actually did hear words of, well, helplessness and hopelessness and whatever. I'm not talking about just books that you read, those kind of words. I want to talk for a moment about the words that you say with your mouth, that you speak. There's a lot of verses we could turn to in Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. The book of James, chapter 3, has a lot to say about the tongue. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of passages that talk about the power of words and the power of encouragement and the power of the tongue. But the one thing that I just want you to know is this: there is life and death in the power of your tongue. You can make or break someone else's life by what you say to them. And as I say these words, you probably are thinking of some difficult memories in your life. When someone said something to you, it might have been in the third grade, or it might have been after you got your first job, or it might have been someone that you loved. They got frustrated and they slipped and said something they shouldn't have. They called you a name, and you will never forget that name. You remember the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That is an absolute false statement. You can heal from a broken arm, or you can function in life without a limb or without a finger. But there's a lot of people are living their entire lives hung up by what someone said to them in the heat of the moment, and they can't forget it. By the way, you probably would all agree that you don't really care to hang around a negative person. I don't. That person that's always seeing the bad, that's always seeing the negative, that person also probably is in the category of someone we would say is a gossip. I'm not here to talk about gossiping exactly, but there's a lot of misunderstandings about what gossip is and what it is not. People think that as long as it's true, I can say it. You know, gossip is just falsehoods. Gossip is lies. Well, not necessarily. It might be true, but it still may not need to be said. Gossips are people that have a negative outlook in life and a negative outlook on people, and they have this spirit that it has a desire to hurt others. There's a mean streak in them, and it comes out in their speaking and in their talk. And ultimately, we know this, people that gossip are selfish. They want to have the latest news, especially if it's about someone that they don't like. Boy, if they get news, negative news about someone they don't like, boy, that makes their day. They can spread that and really tell the world why you shouldn't trust so-and-so. These are the people you would call busybodies. They have an obsessive interest in the business of other people. Those are gossips, and I hope none of you are in that category tonight. But whether you feel like you are or not, whether you feel like you're a negative person or not, all of you has the potential, and I'm going to include myself in that, we all have the potential to either help or hinder the relationships in our life, and it all comes down to what we say and the words that we use. That's why Ephesians 4:29 ought to be a verse that you circle, that you underline, that you get that fluorescent pink or yellow highlighter and highlight it in your Bible. I have mine underlined in my Bible. And I want to read this to you. It says this, 4:29, book of Ephesians. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version tonight. Let no corrupt talk or communication or words, all means the same thing. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. We could stop right there. Let no corrupt, evil, selfish, harmful, spiteful, vulgar, cussing. you can put all that in there. Let no corrupt thing come out of your mouth. That is setting the standard high for Christians. But instead, here's what needs to be coming out of our mouth. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So instead of evil, we need to be speaking words that build up, that fit the occasion, that give grace to those who hear. I brought my Amplified Bible tonight because it unpacks it a little bit farther. Ephesians 4:29 in the Amplified Version says this, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil words, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace or God's favor to those who hear it. That's a pretty tall order. Now, if we took a quiz next week and I said, how many of you can quote Ephesians 4:29? Maybe you're not able to. But I want to unpack this just for a moment, and I want to unpack it in a way that I hope you won't forget. There's three concepts in here. There's three avenues or categories of words that we need to look at. The first is we are to speak words that are edifying. These are words that are generous in spirit. These are words that are others-centered. When you're building up someone else, you're thinking in your mind not, oh, are they done talking? Can I talk now? Can I talk now? Are they done talking? No, you're thinking ahead. What can I say that will be a blessing to this other person? What are they dealing with? What are they going through? And you might greet one another at church. You might say, hey, how's your week? Oh, really? Okay, you got this going on, that going on. But a lot of times, as Christians, we don't get below the surface as much as we should. And we have this greeting talk, and it's good, and it's nice, and bless your heart, and, you know, the Southern hospitality thing. But sometimes we might could be prompted by the Lord to speak something into the lives of others that may be exactly what that person needs. A word of encouragement. Something that is generous in spirit. But if our conversations are only about us doing all the talking, okay, you finish talking so I can tell my story. How's your week going? Okay, now let me tell you about my week. How's your family? Well, let me tell you about my family. We're not even taking the time in our own spirit to be generous in our words and to be edifying, to build others up. Paul's writing here, and he says, only speak things, and the first category is, such as is good for building up. The building up word, the King James word there is edifying. So our conversation, our words, need to be edifying to others. Number two, in the English Standard Version, it's a little bit clearer, and also in the Amplified, there's this phrase in here that says, as fits the occasion. Or the Amplified had it a little bit even more unpacked. It said this, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. You might have an opportunity to say something, but the timing might be wrong. Have you ever talked with someone and you're talking about, oh, work and the weather, and all of a sudden they talk about something that's way over here? Like, how did we get over there? They're just, whatever they're thinking in their mind, it has nothing to do with the conversation. It's just there was a break in the noise and they just said, hey, you know, here's what we need to talk about. Or maybe what they say is, maybe it's not evil, but it's just not in good taste. I remember a pastor that would come to visit our church where my dad pastors when I was a kid. And after the service, he'd come over to the parsonage and we'd have him over for a meal. And he wasn't an evil person. He wasn't malicious. It wasn't gossip. But his viewpoint about certain issues was just a little bit, And I remember he told a couple of stories that put down certain groups of people. I want to be careful here. There's a certain race of people that live in the United States of America that he didn't have a lot of time for. And it came out in some of his speech. And I remember my dad and I talking about that afterwards. And I thought, I like him. He's a good guy, good preacher, gracious man in most ways. But those few stories that he told just really undid all the other good stuff that he had. And it kind of turned me off. Because it wasn't appropriate. So we as Christians are to speak words that are appropriate for the time and the place and the audience that we're with. Words that build one another up, that are edifying. And then the third category here in this verse is gracious. May give grace to those who hear. I think that's what was mentioned in the Amplified. These are words that are marked by kindness and courtesy. Maybe it's okay to say, hey, did you know your hair is sticking straight up? But maybe that's not the most gracious thing to say. Or, oh, looks like you've been putting on some weight. Probably true. Could be true. But it's not gracious. There has to be some kind of kindness that characterizes the verbiage that Christians use. Another way to put it is using words that are marked by delicacy or tactfulness. Those are things that we all need to put in our minds. If we're going to really represent Christ well, we need to have words that are gracious. So we have three categories. We have edifying, we have appropriate, we have gracious. Now, how are we going to remember this? Well, I'll tell you what Dr. Alan Brown told us in a devotional. I think it was, I can't remember the occasion, but I'll never forget the acronym he used for this passage. He said, let's rearrange these words. And by the way, I do have a picture I want to show you that may also stick in your mind as well. So, Johnny, why don't you put that picture up there? Maybe before we're tempted to say the wrong thing, we got to think about this guy with the duct tape over his mouth. And then we think about these three categories: edifying, appropriate, gracious. What if we rearrange those a little bit? I'm not saying change scripture, but let's just change the order and make it appropriate, gracious, and edifying. And what if we said, let's take the first three letters, or the first letter of each word, and have three letters, make the word age. And then we could ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say have age? Is it appropriate? Is it gracious? Is it edifying? Does it build up? Does it speak volumes into the lives of the people that I'm talking to? To be honest with you, after Dr. Brown said this, I forgot the whole rest of his little devotional. I forgot his sermon. I forgot the verse that he used at that time. But I never forgot the AGE acronym. And I hope you don't forget it either. And I hope you don't forget this bald-headed guy that I don't know who in the world he is. But anyway, he's our model of age-appropriate speech tonight. How many times have you heard of someone who's bitter at the church or bitter at God? And you get them to open up and they share their story. And they talk about, well, so-and-so said this. It's words. It's the power of words. And yet, there's also times I've heard wonderful stories how an encouraging word can lift someone up, help them make it through the day. Just the right word spoken at the right time can have the most positive effect that gives a person the ability to continue to serve the Lord and do what God has called them to do. So, here at Faith Chapel, we need to make sure that all of our words have age. Not that they're old words, although we probably do need to keep learning new words and old words and put them all together, but that all of our speech should be appropriate, should be gracious, and should be edifying. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Anybody have a testimony before we close tonight? We're a little bit early, which is good because I have made a new, not New Year's resolution, but I have been thinking about the structure of our services, and I want to make sure we're out in good time. Then we're going to go to Guatemala, and they have long services down there. So I'll probably change, and when I come back, we'll have two-hour services. But for now, we're going to try to go through our services as good as God wants us to. And anybody have any testimony or comment before we close tonight? All right, stand up. Shake hands with your neighbor. Speak words of encouragement. Speak words of age. And you are dismissed tonight. May the Lord bless you.